Okay, let's pray and we're going to get into it. We're going through 1 Samuel. So if you got your Bibles, jam on over to 1 Samuel. If you're new here, welcome. We're looking forward to the day where people start getting back to church and they feel comfortable meeting together in tight spots. I mean, they're already packing out Walmart. They might as well start doing it at church. Amen. So let's be in prayer and that God continues to bring people back in. A lot of people are still watching online. But you know what? God didn't intend for us to meet online. And I know that Paul didn't have the internet. I get that. But, you know, when the scripture says don't forsake meeting together, as some have gotten in a habit of doing, the reason why they wrote that is because Christians were getting devoured by Satan. They were going back into dope. They were going back into porn. They were going back into a pagan lifestyle. They had bad influences around them. And so when the Bible says, listen, you guys need to stay together, it's for your good. It's for your strength. It's for your edification, right? We get together, and the devil doesn't have no place in here. And so we want to seek the Lord's face, pray for each other, get built up in the Word, and then go back out. And that's why we got to get together, and you can't get that online. But what you do get when you just say, you know what, I don't need it, I don't want it in my life, you're going to see that there's a pattern. And I always saw this in my life. When I stopped meeting with having fellowship, man, that's when things got really thrashed. And so we need each other, and God's given us each other to love each other, pray over each other, and strengthen each other. So grab your Bibles. Let's jam on over to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're going through Samuel. And that's what we do here. We pick a book and we go through it. I mean, how easy is that, right? I mean, if you're going to do anything, just go through the Bible so the Bible can go through you. You want to know the Word. You want to live the Word. You want to hear the Word. You want to know how to apply the Word. And so that's all we're doing. We're just going through the Bible and letting the Bible go through us. And so let's pray that God opens up our ears and our hearts that, you know, that He'll speak to us and that we listen to what He's got to say. Because if you want to hear what God's got to say to you, listen to His Word. It's right there, right? I mean, you're married. Some of us are married, or we got boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever. You know what? If you're going to have a good relationship, you're going to have to listen. And it's the same thing with us and the Lord. So, Father, we love You. Open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts to receive what You'd have to speak to us today. I know You got a special word for us, Lord. So let it be. And I just, we thank You for the opportunity to meet together and to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel, we see that in chapter 10, last week we were talking about how Saul is now going to be anointed the first king of Israel. And all these weird details happened in his life that were really strange. And it started by Saul losing his donkeys, right? And then it started with him running into Samuel the prophet. And then the next thing you know, he's anointed as king of Israel. Now, what's crazy about this is that we've all heard that saying, the devil's in the details. But our saying is, it's not the devil in my details, it's God in my details. Every little detail in my life, everything that happens in my life is not the devil's in the details, it's God's in the details. What we saw when we were teaching last time is that there was all these weird details in Saul's life where God was leading him from one place to another. And I want you guys to know that God is in the detail of every little bit of your life. You know how Saul got anointed king? He lost his donkeys. It's like you losing your pickup truck or your tools. And then one thing led to another, and then bam, he's king. Why? Because God sees details and He's in them. And for some of you, if you're here today, you might be like, you know what, that's good for Saul, but what about me? God sees your details too. Check out Psalms 139. O Lord, You have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up and understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and You're acquainted with all my ways. It's not the devil in our details, it's God. And He will do things to get us where He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. He's moving things around. And so in chapter 10, now Saul's kingship or becoming king is going to be made public. Now, this is the first king of all of Israel. It's kind of like inauguration day. It's kind of like it's trending. It's kind of like people are tweeting and posting about this big event that we're going to see in chapter 10, where now, where Saul was anointed in private, now they're going public and they're going to tell the whole nation about Saul becoming the first king of Israel. And so let's start in chapter 10, verse 1. Are you there? Say amen. All right. So Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not the Lord who has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And when you departed from and when you depart from me today, you will find two men at Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin and at Zelzah," baby names if you're taking notes, "and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, "What shall I do, my son? What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go forward from there and come to the terebinth tree at Tabor, and there will be three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will all greet you and give you loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands." So God is going to provide, just a little side note, God's as he goes out, God's going to provide for him in a miraculous way. And one of the things that that shows us is God's a provider. And one of the things that you'll see as you're going out and you're walking with the Lord and you're walking in the ways of the Lord, he'll provide for you. Have you ever noticed that? And he does it in weird ways. I mean, here's Saul. He's going out and God's like, "Hey, telling Samuel, tell Saul this. As he goes out, I'm going to provide for him. There's going to be goats. There's going to be wine. There's going to be bread. There's going to be all this stuff. And it's just going to happen." And sometimes I've noticed that, man, God's provisions have just sometimes happened, right? And so if you're in a place right now and you need God to provide, I'm going to tell you something. He can do it any way that he wants to do it. It can just happen. And as he's going out, it just happens that God provides for Saul in a miraculous way, a way that he never would have thought possible. Now, really, just I'm curious, has God ever provided for you financially or in some other way that came out of nowhere? Just raise your hand. I'm curious to see. Wow. Out of nowhere. Like, I never would have expected that. Why? Because God's a provider. And so he goes out. And it says in verse 5, "After that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, tambourine, a flute, and harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be." Ooh, that's a good word right there. "And God will turn you into another man, and let it be." Like, if you just stopped right there, "and God will turn you into another woman, and let it be." If you would just let it be. I think that's such a, that's the, just let it be. And so it says, "When those signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you, and you shall go down before me to Gilgal. And surely I will come down to you and offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you must do." So this is kind of like an out of ordinary day for Saul. He loses his donkeys. He gets lost. And then the next thing you know, he's anointed king of Israel. You talk about a weird day. Have you ever had a weird day where you wake up and everything's weird? Like, your cat that normally hates your guts is totally affectionate. Your husband tells you to grab the checkbook and go shopping. Your kids ask to take a nap and clean their room. Your dogs don't run off as soon as you open the door. I mean, just a weird day. And everything's like falling into place for him. And it says that he was anointed. So Samuel anoints him. And anointing was kind of an interesting thing. It's really a picture of the outside of it. They would anoint you with oil on the outside. It would run down. And it was a picture of what was happening to you on the outside was a picture of what God was doing to you on the inside, changing your life, changing your heart, making things new, putting a new direction in your life. And so they would anoint, and it was kind of symbolic to that. And anointing means a rubbing, applying. So did you guys wash your hair? I hope you did. Wash that head of yours. If you ever use shampoo, thank God for it, then you anointed your head. If you ever use deodorant, and it's a good thing, amen. I mean, you all want to be clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. But if you ever put a deodorant on, you ever put cologne on, you ever put perfume on, you've anointed yourself. You've rubbed lotion on your hands and your face, you know, and on those bunions, your toes, whatever. You got the lotion there, and you anoint your feet. And so the idea of it is you're rubbing and you're putting something on. And it was a picture of what God was doing on the inside. It was a representation on the outside. It's kind of like when we get baptized, it's symbolic to what God's doing, right? We're being dead in Christ and raised to life through the baptism. And so Saul gets anointed. And the reason why he's anointing him, God's anointing him and filling him up, is because to get ready for this next season in his life. How many of you guys know you're on the verge of a new season? All of you are. I'm on the verge of a new season. We're all in a season right now where there's something coming. We're going into a new season of our life. And just what we see here, just as Saul needed an anointing from God, a filling of the Holy Spirit with God in him, so we need it too. Listen, we need God's Spirit inside of us because this world's crazy. And there's a lot of things that want to kill. We know Satan wants to, he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we need that anointing about us. Priests were anointed, prophets were anointed, kings were anointed, and they were anointed. When you see that word in the Bible, it meant to be set apart for a purpose. And you're anointed and you are set apart for a purpose. You know how I know? Because the Bible tells me so. In 1 John, it says that you have been anointed by the Holy One. Now, who does God choose and who does God fill up? Is it the strong? Is it the smart? Is it the powerful? No. What does Paul tell us? That God is pleased in calling out and seeking those who are weak and foolish to shame the wise. And he takes us, look at us, normal people, living normal lives. And he takes each and every one of us. Some of us have got a gnarly background. But he takes what the locust destroyed and he renews it. And he puts a spirit in us, and he changes our thoughts, he changes our mind, he changes our direction, and he gives us vision, and we go after it hard. But we have to go after it in an anointing of the Lord. And you know what? Being that I know that the Bible tells me that he calls the weak and the foolish, you know what that tells me? That I'm never going to feel smart enough or strong enough to do what God's called me to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're in a season where you got to step out and you're like, you know what, it's stretching me. You're never going to get to that place where you feel strong enough, smart enough, capable enough, equipped enough, ever. It's not in your strength. You see, if you had all that stuff, you could walk around like, hey, you know what, I went to school, I got a degree. You know, I took a theology semester at the community college. I know a few things. God's not gonna use your pride, but he will use your weakness. But there's got to be an anointing if we're going to step out in it. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're going into a new season of your life and you're in that place, you're like, man, I need to step out a little bit. Hey, but I got to wait until this happens. Forget that, because that's never going to happen. You're never going to feel ready. You're never going to feel right. And I'm just constantly reminded about our church and how I do what I do. I don't ever feel right. I don't feel prepared right now. I can't believe you guys are here. But you know what? In some way, God takes that ignorance of mine, lack of schooling, dropped out in ninth grade, and then he downloaded doctrine, theology, some philosophy, just things. Like, I never read a book before. I'm not even lying. I never read a book before. Do I look like a reader? Do I look like some guy you're going to sit at the library and you're going to be like, hey, there's Jason again. He loves the library. I don't care about that stuff. I never have. But you know what? For whatever reason, the Lord loves me. He called me. And so he loves you and he's called you and he's given you an anointing. And it's important that we need to know that you're all anointed. This isn't a club where you got to be a member to get this anointing. You got to love the Lord. That's it. You got to ask Christ for it and he gives it to us. And so the anointing of the Holy Spirit needs to be, we need to be getting filled up on the daily, you guys. Why do we need that anointing? And I know I'm spending some time on this, but we're going to get through it here quickly. But I just want to ask you, why do we need that anointing daily? Because we leak. We leak and we live on low levels. We do. Now, when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, it depends on what church you go to, but sometimes they can get really weird about that. You know, some big, fat, sweaty preacher slapping you in the head, boom, you need that anointing. And you're like, man, I think I need to press charges. Like, that was weird. But there's this idea of this is how you get it, and you got to be a part of this group, and you got to go to this church, and you got to be a part of this denomination. The Bible tells us this. How do we get that anointing? How do we get that Holy Spirit to get inside of us and to fill us up? We ask. Jesus says, listen, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more so the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So it's not a matter of where you're going or who you know, except it's Christ. That we go to him and we ask him, hey, I need to be filled up. I need to be anointed for my assignment, right? That God has done that. And so we need to remember, listen, God wants to anoint every one of us, but we leak. We live on these low levels. And it happens to every one of us. And that's why we have to go to God on the daily to get filled back up. Just this last week, man, I was getting snappy with Vicky, and I hate that. I don't like getting snappy at my wife. But every now and again, sometimes, you know, she'll do something, and I don't like it. And I, you know, Sydney, we own a dog grooming business, a large corporation. It's huge. But anyways, we got this business, and it's not huge. It's really small. But we do business anyway. And so Vicky had sent Sydney home. She was helping bathe and stuff. And then the next thing after she sent Sydney home, she's like, why don't I get all these big dogs in here? And it was at the end of the day, I was getting bit, and just, you know, it was nasty. It was a hard day. And I looked at Vicky, I'm like, why'd you send her home then? I mean, if you want to take in all these other big dogs, what you doing sending her home for? She should have been right here washing them. Who's going to wash all these big dogs, right? And I'm tired and burnt and I'm spent. Because you get like that too, don't judge me. You know how you get at the end of the day, you've had enough, and it doesn't take much, and you just bang. And then I just turned my back and I just kept doing my thing. I was working. And then I apologized to the Lord. Yeah. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. And you know what he told me? What are you apologizing to me for? You snapped at Vicky. I was like, dang, okay, my bad. So then immediately, I was like, babe, I'm sorry. Do whatever you want, you know. But I'm saying that because when you're going throughout your day, you're going to have moments where you've just had enough. You know, you just had enough. You know, it's like we've got that, some of us have got that mechanism in us that tells us to shut our mouth and then we just turn that thing off or like break it and just go crazy. And that's why you got to take a moment and say, Lord, I need you to fill me up. I need it right now. I need you to fill me up. And so the Lord wants to do it. He just wants us to ask him for it, and he'll come through with it. And so Saul, one quick note. You know what? The one thing I like about Saul, you guys, is that he wasn't a spiritual guy. He was a normal dude with normal problems, living a normal life. And look what God does. He comes in, and he anoints him and fills him with his spirit, and he uses him in a miraculous way. He chose him. Flaws and all. And he chooses you. He chooses me. Flaws and all. That I don't have to get it right before I come to the Lord. You guys know that we come to the Lord and then we get it right. He chooses us just and loves us just as we are. And we see it with Saul with his flaws and all. And I remember D.L. Moody, he's an old-time preacher like in the 1800s. And he said, I'm so glad that God chose me before I was born because I don't think he would have chose me after I did some living. And I think about that because I'm like, man, Lord, that's my life. Thank you so much that you knew everything about me and yet you still called me and loved me before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. For he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So you know what that means? You're not here today by karma. You're not here today because of chance. You're not here today because it was just a lucky day and you just decided to roll into this place. God's got a calling and a purpose and a choosing on your life. And so Samuel anoints Saul. Check out verse 2. And so now he's going to, now Samuel is going to prophesy over Saul. Very specific signs. We saw that. You're going to run into two people at Rachel's tomb. You're going to run into one guy who's got three goats. You're going to run into one guy that's got a loaf of bread. You're going to run into this one guy that's got wine. And what it was is God was leading him. And I wanted to tell you guys this really quick because about leading, when God's leading us from one town to another, one place to another, one season to another in our life, sometimes it can get confusing. God, where do you want me to go? Have you ever asked God that? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Have you ever asked God that? What am I supposed to do now? And that can get confusing at times because, see, sometimes God wants you to go in a direction and you'll mess it up along the way, and then you'll think it's not God's direction for your life, because if it was, it wouldn't be so hard, but yet he's trying to get you to go into that direction, but you keep messing it up, and you think it's not his will. So it's not that easy to say, I know where God is leading me, I know how to get there, because we mess it up as we're going along the way. But one of the things that we see with Saul, just real quick side note, when we're talking about his life and God leading him in his life, is there was specific signs of confirmation that God was showing in his life as he was stepping out day by day, doing that walking in that anointing that God said, hey man, you're king. Doesn't matter if you believe you got the credentials. It doesn't matter if you believe you got the resources. It doesn't matter if you believe you got the strength. This is the deal. I'm anointing you king. He gets up, walks out. Confirmation, 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 confirmation. Now, let me ask you guys something. If Saul went out, and let's just say for just the sake of conversation really quick, if Saul went out and there was three people at Rachel's tomb instead of two, was God's word not true? Of course it was true. It was fulfilled. It would have been fulfilled exactly as God said. There might be three, but he says you're going to run into two. So it would have been fulfilled just as God said, right? And you're like, well, why are you telling me that, Jason? Because God's word will always be fulfilled in your life exactly as he said it, but it may not be as exactly as you want it to be. And that's where we get messed up. It could have been any other way. But God's word, I promise you this, he will fulfill that word perfectly. But it may not be the way that you expected it to be worked out. And so you know what you got to do? You got to trust the Lord even when you can't see it working out in your life. You got to keep going. And you will notice this. If you guys look back over your life and test me, prove me wrong on this, you will see, you know what? I'm seeing confirmation. I'm seeing confirmation. I'm seeing confirmation. The Lord wants to give you confirmation. And he does it with Saul as Saul goes out. He gives him confirmation over and over again. And so God was calling Saul into a new season of his life and then giving him the ability to go into it by filling him up. So wherever God puts you, he's going to give you the ability to get through it when you're going through it. He didn't just say, listen, here's the new season of your life. Good luck. He fills him up. And so whether you're going into retirement, and there's a new season in your life where you're worried about how those pieces are going to work out, the Lord gives us his word. that he fills us up. He gives us the ability to get through what we're going through when we're going through it. So it could be your retirement. It could be you starting a new career. It could be raising your kids. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have bad days. And you got to understand something about those bad days, that God is going to give you the ability and the resources to get through them if you would just turn to him on the daily and say, God, I need you to fill me up and I need direction. I may not know exactly how it's going to work out, but I've seen some confirmation and I need the strength to keep going because right now it's getting weird. And so when he calls us to do something, he gives us the ability to get through it. So now, after Saul has been chosen by God, anointed and filled with his spirit, he goes out and it says God changes his heart, and then he runs into the prophets. He's going to run into prophets and have a word with his uncle. But let's check out verse 9. It says, so it was when he had turned back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all the signs came to pass that day when they came there to the hill, and there was a group of prophets to meet them. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that indeed he prophesied among the prophets, and the people said to one another, what is this that came upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Then a man from there answered and said, but who are their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went into the high place. And then Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, where'd you go? Like, where you been? You went after the donkeys. The streetlights came on. You're out of cell service. You're not texting back. You got oil all over your head. What's happening? Where have you been, Saul? And Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, in verse 16, but about the matter of the kingdom, he didn't tell him what Samuel had said. And so, why didn't he tell his uncle what had happened? He's king. And I think one of the things of it is maybe Saul's being humble about it. Maybe he didn't want to go into it. But we're really not sure. One thing that we do know for sure, though, is that as he went, God changed his heart. He put a new heart in him, and he created a new heart in him, and he changed him into a new person. And I'm going to tell you guys this. I thought it was odd that when Samuel anointed him, God didn't give him a new heart when Samuel anointed him. But it says when he turned away from Samuel and he walked off, then God changed his heart. And I think the reason why is because God wanted us to see that it's not man that changes each other's heart, but it's God that changes our heart. And I say that because if God doesn't change your heart, nobody's going to do it. Ain't nobody's going to be able to change your heart. You know what? You can preach to your friend all day long, but unless God changes their heart, they're not going to hear it. You know, and we've got people that we love, and you can tell them, you can invite them to church, you can say, hey, man, if I could just get my husband to church, if my kid would just come to church, or if I had, my kid had friends in their life that were more Christian, if they had stronger influences, if my wife, you know, would just open up about what's going on with her, she wouldn't be all tied up in a mess all the time, and there needs to be a heart change in her, and all this stuff needs to get worked out in everybody else's life, and I'm going to do everything I can do to get it worked out for them. Because some of you guys are rescuers. And here's the problem with you trying to rescue everybody. If God doesn't change the heart, nothing you do is going to do it. And so it says as he was walking off, he was in a position where he was alone and it was just him and God. And you know what, you guys? Sometimes people got to get in a position where they ain't got nobody but the Lord. And it's in that moment where they come to that conclusion and just say, you know what, I'm done running. I ain't got nowhere to go. I ain't got nobody to go to. and they go straight to Jesus. And that's what people need. They just got to get to the Lord. So let's get ready to wrap this up. So Saul, he gets around these prophets, and then the prophets start asking this question: who is Saul? Is he amongst the prophets? Because you remember, he's a normal dude living a normal life with normal problems. But now these prophets are out there and they're singing, they're dancing, they've got all these instruments, they're doing the Macarena. It's like everything, it's like this big old party. And people are looking at Saul, and they're tripping because they know Saul. They're like, this is the son of Kish. You know, a small town, people know you. They know your past. They know your family knows your past. They know you. People know you, right? Is all I'm saying. Not everybody knows you like some people know you. These people knew Saul. What is this guy doing? Isn't this Saul? And they're like, wow, this is crazy. And the reason why is because when God does a work in you, it puts a wow factor in others. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? People will look at you now and they'll be like, man, this is not who I used to know. And when they're looking at Saul and they're seeing this conversion in his life, they're like, something is going on that's so crazy because this is not who I used to know. I've got a friend, some of you guys know Kelly. Not Holly's Kelly, but the other Hollywood Kelly. Anyways, he was homeless, on dope, strung out, crazy. I met him from begging on the corner. So high and just sores on his body, outside our church with, you know, his shoes off and his socks off because he had to get them to dry out because he's outside all the time and his feet were getting rotted off from the wetness. Bad. Prayed over Kelly, loved Kelly. Our church gave the word to Kelly. And I hadn't seen him in a while. And he texted me on Facebook, and he goes, Pastor Jason, how's it going? I said, man, it's going good. How about you, man? I haven't seen you in a day. And he goes, well, I just want you to know what God has done in my life. I'm working 60 hours a week. I've got a BMW. I've got my driver's license. I got a bank account. I'm saving money. I'm going to school for criminal justice. And I'm like, wait, what? The last time I saw you, man, you were outside our church with no shoes and socks on your feet. How are you going to tell? What? And he shows me a picture of his Beamer. And he's like, it ain't the top of the line, but you know. I'm like, man, forget that. Look how far God's brought you. And I'm like, wow. And that's what God does. Man, if you're not going from better to best, something's going wrong. And so Saul's with these prophets. I'm going to wrap it up. Man, I just want to keep going forever with this because it's so good. But I got to stop because you can't handle it. So listen. Let's just finish this out in verse 17. God changes people. That's what I'm trying to say. Verse 17, let's, worship team, you guys come on up here. We're going to close out in some communion and worship. Pastor Matt, come on up. You're going to get ready to close us out here. So in verse 17, Saul has had a conversion. He's with the prophets. People are tripping out. And so Samuel's going to call all the people together, and this is where the nation comes together for Saul, and he's going to make it public, his kingship. So it says then in 17, verse 17, then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you today have rejected your God. And they did, because they're like, we don't want God ruling over us. We want a man ruling over us. This is how we're getting to Saul, because God was their king. But now he's like, well, okay, so you guys, I've done all this for you, and you've rejected me. I've protected you, provided for you, seen you through some ugly battles. And you know what? At the end of the day, you're like, I'm good. So, he says in verse 19, but you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations. And you said to him, no, set us a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. Roll call, bring it up. You guys want a king? You're done with the Lord ruling in your life? You want somebody else? You want to turn to something else? Something's going to be better? Okay, bring up the clans. We're going to settle it right now. Come on up. I'm going to show you your king. I'm going to show you the guy that you guys want. And so, verse 20, and when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by the families, and the family of Matri was chosen. And Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought Saul, he could not be found. And therefore they inquired of the Lord further, has this man even got here yet? Did nobody text him? He's king today. He's got an appointment. We're doing this thing. And it says, and the Lord answered, there he is, hiding among the equipment. So they ran and brought him from there. And when they stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him who the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among the people. And Saul was hot. He was a good-looking guy. Tall, dark, handsome. Saul. We know that because the Bible told us. He was a perfect representation of everything you want in a leader. And it says that, so all the people shouted and said, long live the king. And then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book. And he laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And then Saul went home to Gibeah. And valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. Thank God for friends in your life that God has touched their hearts and encouraged you. But some rebels said, how can this man save us? And they despised Saul and brought him no presents. But Saul held his peace. Wow. So listen. So here is your king. Here is your king. Where's your king? Where's your king? Oh, that's right. He's hiding. And he's not so much hiding from the people, church, he's hiding from his calling. And I want you to let that sit for a second. Would you guys stand with me? We're gonna close out in prayer. But when he's hiding, he's not hiding from the people, he's hiding from his calling. Are you hiding from your calling? Are you running from it or to it? It's got to be one or the other, you guys. But you know, as I was wrapping this up and I was studying it yesterday, the Lord, just this word kept coming over my mind and my heart that if I'm going to have a changed life, it's got to start with God changing my heart. We need a heart change. And if you're here this morning and you're in that season where maybe you're running the opposite direction of where God has been wanting you to go, and you've been getting mixed up and you're not sure what to do, or maybe you're in that place where you're leaking and you're running on low levels, a change of life comes from a change of your heart. We need that feeling. We need that filling up every day. Don't you know that Satan wants you to think you can do it on your own? That you got enough power, that you got enough strength, that you got enough wisdom to make it on your own without the Lord? Don't you know? That's destroying us. We need Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. So much there. We could just go on and on and on forever, Lord. But I don't want to lose the point that if we're going to have a change of heart, Lord, a change of life, we need to have a change of heart. We got to have you change our heart, Lord, daily. fill us up in each and every day. I pray over the moms in here today that just right around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're just ready to just pull out every bit of hair they got, Lord. Father, I pray over the marriages that are struggling, Lord, that online, people watching, the tension in the home, that Father, you just, as they submit to you, that's the thing. We got to submit to you in your plan and your calling for our life. And we ask that you fill us up, Father, for all the singles out there, discouraged, alone, wanting to settle for second best because there's nothing there. Lord, just, I pray that you encourage them. That like we were talking about in the beginning, you're aware of every detail in their life and you've got a plan. Fill them up, Lord. Father, I pray that they're just turning to you right now, asking you to fill them up. Lord, I can't make this decision for them, but I can make it for myself. Lord, just fill me up. Strengthen me. Encourage me. Lead me. Father, give me vision. Give me strength, God. Create a new heart in me, God. I don't want you to fix this old one. I want a new one. Get it out of there. And only you can do it, Lord. And you said that if we would ask for this, you would do it. And so we step out on faith, Lord. Fill us up. Change our lives, Lord. Make it happen like only you can make it happen. And the church said, amen. Let's give God praise this morning.